The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. You know the rest?
Yeah.
Everywhere we go. Aww. Take a look at the 5 and 10. It's glistening once again.
Lumos.
Hello, friends. Welcome back to Shell Cottage Radio. I'm your host, Ezra, a.k.a. Bill, also known as Sir Ezra the Watchful, History of Magic Professor the Flannel Wizard, obviously. Yours truly, me. Please welcome your lovely design witch, the fascination of fourth year, my wonderful co-host and yours, Lottie, a.k.a. Fleur.
Einen wunderschönen guten Tag. We're so happy that you're here. Come on in, make yourself at home in our beautiful little cottage on the outskirts of Tinworth. This is episode number 66 of Shell Cottage Radio, and this week we talk about chapter 11 of Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban, the Firebolt. As always, we'll start with our cottage catch-up, train for future trivia nights, and do our best to learn more about magical and fantastic beasts. And today, we also have a new mini-segment in our show for you guys.
Yeah, we got a new mini-segment in the show, and this is episode 66, so I'm undercover, just in case Order 66 out there looking for me.
Sorry, Seriously,
What if
I did the whole episode? What if I did the whole episode that way? Would that be ridiculous? I think I've mentioned this on Up Talking Tolkien. I used to watch a movie back in the day called Fievel Goes West.
I know Fievel very well. Loved it when I was a kid. Yes.
Loved that movie. And awesome. The old sheriff, the what was his name? Wiley Burp or something like that? Sheriff Burp. I mean, it's ridiculous. And he's out there teaching, was it Tiger? I guess the cat's name was Tiger.
Yeah,
and he was teaching him how to fight. He's like, give him a lazy eye. Just ridiculous. So anyways.
And that voice just stuck with you ever since.
Ever since. So whenever I have to go undercover or in disguise, I do that. And I just thought, hey, episode 66, I don't want anybody to, people be like, where's Ez? But no, I'm back. It's all good. Just for the intro, and then we're good. How you doing? What's going on? What's up? What's going on in the cottage catch-up here? What's happening?
Happy Christmas, guys. Mm. We are here with a new Christmas episode, because it's not Christmas right now, but it's Christmas at Hogwarts.
It ain't Merry Christmas. It's Happy Christmas, y'all.
Did I say Merry Christmas?
You said happy. I know. I just wanted to, okay. I was making it clear. I love how they say that over there. They're always just like, Happy Christmas.
Oh, you mean like in the UK? Oh, that's a UK thing? Okay. Yeah.
We say Merry, they say Happy. And it's so ridiculous because
Father Christmas.
You would think that they would say Merry and we would say Happy. But it's not.
Okay.
Because that's more formal. Feels like you're saying Merry Christmas.
Yeah. Okay. Gotcha. Because feel like they're more formal. Like the British are.
I think they are.
With their tea and their royals.
Yeah.
Yep.
They know I'm not formal.
Well, here in the States, pumpkin and spooky season has officially started.
Yeah.
Thank you so much to Sarah for salted caramel mocha scent.
Yes.
Honestly, thank you, Sarah. She was so sweet, and she put together a little fall package for the teachers that are starting their school year, and she wants us to enjoy fall. She gave us a blanket and some coffee and some candles, and right now we lit the salted caramel mocha candle, and it's phenomenal.
Phenomenal, y'all. Phenomenal.
I need to go get more.
Here's the thing. I don't know. I just love this time of year, and this is a crazy episode because I love Christmas. And we are recording this like on the clove of season.
Yeah.
As we go, and this is Hobbit weekend, by the way, too.
It is.
So it's an extra special weekend as we're recording this, and we're driving right into fall, but we're jumping ahead, going to Christmas, then we're going to come back, and we're going to hit Halloween again, and then we're going to go back to Christmas in real life. You know, so it's just kind of this is kind of awesome. This is how to live life. I feel like, you know, just to get it's a nice way to get a bit more of that holiday.
Yes.
For us, anyways. Hopefully for you guys too. But
yeah. I'm hoping some of you guys are actually listening in December right now, and they're like, "Man, this is awesome! It's Christmas here. It's Christmas in the book." Mm-hmm. And I mean, I love watching the Harry Potter movies around Christmas or reading the books again. My host mom, Carol, she would always tell me in winter, she loved getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning and just reading a book while it's cold outside in December. She would get up every day, 5 o'clock in the morning, and just read a book for an hour.
It's wild.
I thought that was so beautiful and true. I love the seasons. I think I could never live somewhere where it's always warm or always cold. I mean, both extremes, I think, would not be for me.
Yeah, not for you. Don't be dissing on people's home.
Oh, I'm not. I think it's really cool.
I'm just kidding.
No. Some people, don't get me wrong.
Actually, if you're talking to my dad who grew up here in Ohio, spent his whole life here, he cannot wait to go somewhere warm. He just, the cold's coming and he's like, "Oh man, I got to soak up all this warmth."
Yeah.
He really feels like every extra hour or minute he spends outside that he's soaking stuff in is going to carry him through the winter. Like, that's kind of how I think he believes.
And we're like, we love going into hibernation and just cuddling up in our little mini apartment. Why do I keep saying the word mini? I just like it.
Yeah, man.
It's just a small apartment.
It's just kind of a mini place, you know?
Yeah.
Like a little mini mouse.
But we're super excited for, as you guys say, spooky season.
Yeah, you don't have this in Germany, though, right?
We do have a little bit of Halloween, but we don't celebrate it like that, no.
So you guys aren't heathens, essentially. You don't worship witches. And
even though we kind of are. I don't know. I don't know what we are. But
no, yeah. No, I just mean you. It's not a big thing over in Europe at all, really, is it?
No, not really. I mean,
Halloween?
I guess it's more so in the UK, I would say.
Okay.
Not so much in Germany. We have some fall activities, like Erntedankfest is a little bit like Thanksgiving, but more in the countryside, where you give thanks to, you know, the crops and what you have in life. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Halloween, when I grew up, we were one of the first groups that actually went around and asked for candy, and a lot of adults' families, they didn't really understand it. They were mad, and it was like,
really?
We went to a certain place where there was an apartment complex where we knew, okay, this group here, they celebrate it and all the kids go. And then we would go there. It was a little bit further way down, actually, where my old elementary school was. And then across from that, there's these houses that look like a little bit tilted, right?
Yep,
in that apartment complex there, I had some friends who lived there.
Now that makes sense.
And we would go there. I know it looks spooky, right? Because
it's house. Weird, tilted. They're adopting this.
I know. They actually embraced it. Yes. And that's where we went to get some candy. But the first time I really went American style trick-or-treating was when I was here as an exchange student.
Yeah, what'd you dress up as?
I dressed up as, oh my gosh, I got a last minute costume from a friend. I dressed up as Fiona from Shrek.
Wow.
Yeah, I was Princess Fiona.
Have I seen a picture of that? I think I have seen one picture of that, yeah.
Yeah, they had everything. Green. They had the dress, they had the
Wasn't your face painted?
Wig.
Weren't you painted green?
No, it was the human Fiona. So she's human, she turns ogre for a while, but I was the human version of her.
Why?
I didn't have green paint. I don't know.
What? Are you, wow. Okay.
Yeah, so that was fun. And I love the holiday spirit for different holidays.
Mm-hmm.
I know, you know, it's a little bit of capitalism and a little bit.
Consumer.
It is. Yeah. It fuels the... Yeah, consumerism.
Oh, the candy industry.
But yeah, it does. Oh my goodness, it does. But also, it's to be honest, it's fun. And you don't have to go out and consume a bunch of stuff to enjoy the season. We like to keep it small, but we like our scented candles. We like our treat once in a while.
Probably more than once in a while, but...
and by the way, we did order some sort of costume that you guys will see soon.
Yes, we did. We ordered a costume, and I wouldn't mind ordering another couple costumes. But,
no, it's so fun to think about dressing up with different characters. Yeah.
Right, yeah, sure. But the wallet's not allowing that right now. I'm excited, really, because it's my favorite time. Growing up, I played football, and football was one of my favorite sports. I really loved this time of year because you got campfires.
Oh, yeah.
You could just kind of go out and see your friends probably Saturday after the game. You'd watch the Ohio State game because we're all about watching that. It's actually going on right now. Yep. I should put it up here on the screen side. Wow, this could be the episode where I double dipped. I watched a little bit of Ohio State football while we recorded. You'd be mad.
No,
I'm not doing it.
Are you actually?
No, I'm not. No, it's not even up there.
Doing two things at the same time.
No.
Multitasking.
Not really.
Okay.
I'm task oriented.
I've
told you that, right?
Yes. Yeah, you get super focused, hyper focused on one thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And I just do this one thing. So, and then I go crazy about it. And then I look up and I'm like, where did my life go? But then, you're right in front of me.
Yeah.
I'm here. Oh, that was sweet. Somebody's going to say that.
And
was
you
sweet.
Were just in the zone. That's a good thing. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
To experience flow.
Yeah, for sure. Because sometimes I have students who are always trying to multitask. I'm like, guys, I'm telling you right now, you're going to feel better if you just get that thing done.
I know.
You're sitting there like, well, I'm going to kind of, I'm going to take my time with this. I'm going to map this out here a couple months, maybe. You ain't going to remember it.
No. And it feels good to get things done, even though sometimes we feel overwhelmed. We have a lot of things on our list that need to get done. But sometimes it's also the fear of having this bad conscience of not having done enough, could have done it, but I haven't yet. But it's okay. We take our time one day at a time. Sometimes we have these crazy seasons in life where it's just a lot to do.
Hey, inch by inch, life's a cinch. Yard by yard, life's too hard.
True words.
All right, now new stuff that you want to break down for folks. We've been scheming away, thinking about different things, and so as we wrap up our cottage catch up here, what are you thinking? What's brewing on the stove?
Oh yeah, we just always constantly thinking about how can we improve our podcast and grow and bring new elements and even fandoms to our show. And for a long time, you've been into how many fandoms at the same time at some point and different projects though.
I mean,
five.
Here's the thing. people who know me, I would love to put up a poll at some point and say, how many projects do you think has started, stopped, just in general? I mean, there's some pages that I've actually started YouTube pages where I created the page, the name, outlined everything, got the Gmail, set her all up, and I looked at it and was like, what am I doing? What am I doing? I was doing it in my sleep.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's like 20 plus pages probably.
And it's okay. You know what? It's okay to try different things and experiment with different niches or different styles of content. And that's where that hard work one day will lead to the thing that, you think is you're passionate about or is successful or really gets you
going.
You're
right. I would say to folks too, if anybody is doing that, whether you're doing an Etsy shop, I mean, the cool thing about LeakyCon when we were there was that we met all these different types of creators who were into
great.
Yeah, some of them were video creators, some were podcasters, some were just crafts and arts. We met artists who were like actors, right, who did their thing.
Yes.
Some people are studying to kind of do that. I actually follow a few Instagram accounts now that are these individuals who are just doing acting. They're giving themselves a prompt, and they're just like, boom, here, watch me. Go. Actually, we've had Michaela on. She's an actress.
Oh, she's so lovely. Awesome, and she's hilarious.
She's hilarious. But, it's true, though. We're always trying to do something that's just fun. And I think I've really, bounced all over the place, gone super niche, gone a little wider, done different things. And now I've kind of just settled in to, I just like having a foot or a toe in the fandoms.
Yeah, because you love so many different fandoms. Yeah. Stories that it really is about stories that inspire us. And we want to, you first started putting that concept into life. Is that?
Yeah, into life.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess you. I don't know. You. Start,
I love watching you think through the different phrases.
Really, my facial expressions are really wild, that's why we're bringing. Place.
We are bringing the video version of this back. I'm literally after this book. We've already said Goblet of Fire. We're bringing it back. So it's a must. It's a have to. Not messing around anymore.
Then you can show you guys everything we have on our table, like cookies and candles. We would,
we'll probably have to clean up the we'll have to clean up. Yeah. So.
I wanted to try something and make my computer work in a more eco-friendly way, and now it just if I am not doing anything on my computer for 3 seconds, it shuts off the screen.
Hey, there's a price to pay. Okay.
Anyway, what was I gonna say? Oh yeah, the concept. We are thinking about our concept being Flora and Bill.
Yeah.
A wizarding couple just in their shell cottage home talking about stories that inspire them. And now we're thinking about changing our Harry Potter hangout segment into something more.
Something more. And here's where it's at, friends. We thought of a cool way just to kind of keep track of all of the Harry Potter episodes, because we started off super niche and we've started off just doing Harry Potter stuff. But I mean, I honest to God, we watched so many different things, and we at one point we even had a little side project we were gonna do, which was just us sort of doing reactions to TV shows or books or whatever. But if it's a numbered episode, it's gonna be a Harry Potter episode essentially.
Yeah.
It'll be Harry Potter themed. It'll be the reread. It'll be all of that good stuff, right? So the main show, really.
Right.
And then some smaller stuff in between that we might just drop in between. You might just see several episodes of a TV show that we are enjoying, or you might see, you know, more. You're grinning at me like I'm saying too much.
No.
Oh, okay. I was like, well, you know.
I was grinning because I was thinking about Pokemon.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, down. Like, it's crazy. I mean, we just, instead of starting a whole bunch of different things or whatever, that's the idea. You know, we're just a wizard couple that, I mean, we're still, I mean, if I'm talking about Wheel of Time, I'm still going to be wearing my Hogwarts robe.
Yes.
Talking about it. People are going to be like, what are you going to do about it? You know what I mean? Nothing. You ain't going to do nothing about it. Because there's so many different tie-ins between different authors and fandoms and stories that you just think is really cool. The hero arc, the hero journey is similar in all of those. The mythologies, the world building. I mean, it's all, there are similarities. And it's cool to kind of find those. Actually, I was asked at LeakyCon to talk about Sauron, Palpatine.
Villains. Yes.
Yeah. And then as well as weave that in with Voldemort. And I was like, wow, that's crazy. I was in Germany, so I didn't have time to plan it nor to do the panel. But I thought, dang, that would be a really cool concept. So in general, it's just going to be us talking more about things that we enjoy. And so those will be kind of filler episodes that you'll see. They're not going to be numbered. There'll be like a little badge or an indicator that tells you that, hey, that's us talking about something different. And you can feel free to skip it, or you can listen to it and watch that show with us. Because if you haven't watched the show, you know, you might be like, well, I'm saving that. Well, then save those episodes and skip and continue on with the reread and come back to them. So.
Yeah, or get inspired. Maybe you want to check out, is that something for me? And just listen to the first episode and see what kind of story is that? Do I want to commit to how many books is Wheel of Time?
Oh, 14. 14. I know. I tried to talk Kayla into it as well, and she was like, she sent me a couple of these memes back and forth where she was kind of like, that time where your friend recommends you to start a series and then he follows up with you later and says, have you started that series? And she's like, the anxiety that that creates.
Yeah, that built up.
Whoa, don't ever do that again, buddy. But no, I mean, that's sort of, I used to read tons of books. I mean, I'm a reading teacher, co-teach English. I've just been in and out of language arts my whole career. And so I love all of them. I've read all this, you know, all of it.
And you're the best storyteller I know.
Whoa, okay.
Honestly. And I can't wait for you to share all these different stories with others.
Yeah, for example, I mean, I used to have a Wheel of Time podcast that I worked on, and my co-host there, my buddy Matt, he basically didn't know the Wheel of Time series, and I would just tell him. I would just tell him what was going on and just kind of explain it. Same thing for you in terms of Pokemon. I have no idea.
Yes.
You were asking me some stuff about different like evolutions, and I was like, they evolve? What?
What sometimes are they doing? I think, though, you know more than you let on.
Maybe, but it's just because I'm older and I've been around a little bit. But I don't know any of that. I don't know. I know Pikachu and Charmander.
Yes, and Bulbasaur. You know Raichu. I would be disappointed
and Raichu.
If you didn't, because that's, I love Raichu.
Yeah, Raichu's cool. So that's kind of the idea. If you see that in the future, we don't know when. We're not really sure when that's going to happen. But like, I want to kind of have a toe in those waters. Yes. And I enjoy talking about those different fandoms. And if there's a show you guys want us to check out, like, let us know. But I mean, that's Probably going to be some of the stuff that we just drop. And over on my YouTube channel, Master Badger, that's really what it is. It's a lot of Lord of the Rings stuff. Well, sorry. It's a lot of Harry Potter. It's a lot of, with a dash of Star Wars, a dash of Lord of the Rings, a dash of video games, a dash of this. So, you know, it's predominantly Harry Potter with a dash of other fandoms, if that makes sense.
That makes total sense.
Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Because you came up with the idea, so it better make sense. I'm kidding.
Hey, it all started. I think it all started because I posted in our podcast group. We have this little podcast chat, and I was like, oh, "Does anyone else ever have that urge to start a Pokemon podcast?" And you looked at me, and you were like, "Seriously, you want to start another podcast?"
No, I mean, I was.
No, you were actually happy. You always tell me,
"Go for it."
That you know, you love Do when it. Your person just lights up and loves talking about something or just gets immersed in something and just gets into the zone. I love watching you when you are in the zone or you're super inspired talking about something and you can just see the flames in that person's eyes.
Yeah.
And
No, for sure. And one of the things too, and just so folks or listeners understand, it's like, I mean, like, you know, if you're doing multiple projects or whatever, it's kind of hard to keep working on the one project while the other ones are going on. So then you have times where, like, if people like the Harry Potter stuff and it goes a little dormant because you work on something else, it's kind of like, I'd like you just to know that we're working on that. And then, you know, you feel free to skip it and the Harry Potter stuff's coming right back. I mean, we just kind of keep it going. We are not stopping the reread, by the way.
Oh, no, yeah. That's our flagship. That's our main episode, basically.
Yeah,
yes.
That's going to be coming every week. So we're continuing on with that. But, like, we might just do a drop one week where they're here's eight episodes that we did of Wheel of Time, or here's eight episodes of whatever show it is we watched or whatnot. So that's kind of the plan. We're just Florida Bill, you know?
We're just going to have fun with it. So
Do things you like and enjoy it. So
yippers.
Okie doke.
Okay, Mr.
Now what?
Now trivia.
Let's go.
I have one question for you today.
I know the answer to this question.
Wait, you already read it?
No. I mean,
you are cheating.
No, I didn't look anything up, though. I have no idea. I don't know the answer.
Okay, question for today is, what is the core of Professor McGonagall's wand?
Yeah, well, it's actually, since she's a Gryffindor, it's actually a Griffin
door.
It's a Griffin hair. So
you have no clue.
It could be unicorn. It could be dragon heartstring. No, it's not that. It could be Vestral? No, it couldn't be that.
So my teachers, they always used to say, Whisker. Make an educated guess.
If I had to make an educated guess, I'd say it's unicorn hair core.
Professor McGonagall's wand has a core of dragon heartstring.
Shut your mouth. Shut up.
Other people who use this core are Hermione Granger, Bellatrix Lestrange, Victor Crumb, and also Lucius Malfoy.
What? Not Draco? Hold on. Dragon heartstring, second.
Dragon heartstring wands tend to produce the strongest and most flamboyant spells. They are also the easiest to turn to the dark arts and can be accident prone. I bet Seamus probably has dragon heartstring.
What?
Yeah, so dragon heartstring. Does Malfoy have?
Oh my gosh, Draco had a unicorn hair core. Oh. What?
Really?
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Hawthorne wood, and it had a unicorn hair core.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, right there. Boom. So, dragon heartstring, huh?
Yep.
Okay, cool.
I mean, she is strong. And I think someone like her and Hermione, I think that's why they connect on so many different levels. McGonagall is the perfect guide, teacher, what else?
Mentor.
Mentor for Hermione. Because they both almost went to Ravenclaw, very clever, but very, like, in their hearts, brave and super strong magic, both of them.
Yeah. You know, I think sometimes when you hear in the movies, we have these movie-isms where the only time I really hear dragon heartstring is Lucius Malfoy.
Yeah.
Talking about it. And it's him and Voldemort, and he's like, dragon heartstring, mama. He's scared to death, and he's like, dragon heartstring.
Oh, the actor did a great job. Yep.
And you're like, oh, okay. And you just think dark wizard, dark core. I'm just saying. You're like, you just chalk it up to that in your head, and you think nobody else would have that. That's why I was like, McGonagall, ain't no way she has a dragon heartstring wand core. But she does, okay? So does Hermione, stand corrected.
Yep.
Call yourself a Hufflepuff professor? I mean.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And Minerva McGonagall fanboy.
Yeah, I do love Professor McGonagall. She's awesome. Big time.
Okay, moving on to our weekly Magi Zoology lesson.
What, you rescue these creatures?
Yes, that's right. Rescue, nurture, and protect them. I'm gently trying to educate my fellow wizards about them. Come on.
As you can tell, we're a little silly. It's late at night, and I don't know what.
Who are you calling silly?
This silly.
Are you calling me silly?
No.
Yeah, that's fine if you do. I don't mind.
This week, we'll take a closer look at the, and I have no clue if this is how you say it, chiz purple. Can you say it?
Woo!
Say it. Out loud.
Out loud. Speaking of that, we should do some Twilight content.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
Sorry, what? Anyway, I would say kiz.
Kiz.
Or shiz.
Shiz.
Or chiz. Chize? Chize purple? Chize purple? Chize purple.
People, tell us if you're an expert.
I've never seen this word in my life.
I've never seen this combination of letters in my life.
This looks like, honestly, for some of my students who work with me, this would be like a nonsense word that I would say. Use your decoding skills. Let's knock this out. Syllable divide this bad boy.
Okay. Yeah. So this, I'm just going to go with chiz purple.
Okay.
They
I feel
have,
like we're saying something naughty and we're not, and I don't know what this
is. Chiz purfly?
Just this purple.
Purple, right?
Like, think of purr. Like you're purring.
Oh, just purr.
Which is nicer. Yeah. It's
okay.
Purr, and it's full of purrs.
Full of purrs.
But it's not a cat. It's
it's a
crab.
A parasite.
What?
They have a classification of XX to Xs, which means they're harmless. And they may be domesticated.
These look like bed bugs.
Yeah.
They look like actual bed bugs. That's crazy.
They are small parasites up to a 20th of an inch high, crab-like in appearance with large fangs. They are attracted by magic and may infest the fur and feathers of such creatures as crups and augurs. They will also enter wizarding dwelling. They will also enter wizard dwellings and attack magical objects such as wands, gradually gnawing. Oh, is it gnawing?
Gnawing.
Okay. Yeah. gradually gnawing their way through the magical core, or else settle in dirty cauldrons where they will gorge upon any lingering drops of potion. In the absence of magic, chiz purfles have been known to attack electrical objects from within. And for a fuller understanding of what electricity is, see Home Life and Social Habits of British Muggles. Chiz purfle infestations explain the puzzling failure of many relatively new Muggle electrical artifacts.
Huh.
Interesting. Though chiz purfles are easy enough to destroy with any of a number of potions on the market, severe infestations may require a visit from the pest subdivision of the department.
What's going on?
This is a nightmare to read. And it's so funny. It's drinking your coffee, and I thought you were just burying your head. And you're embarrassed. So the severe infestations may require a visit from the pest subdivision of the department for the regulation and control of magical creatures, as chiz purfles swollen with magical substances will prove very hard to fight.
See, that's what you have to do. You just have to conjure up like
some magic.
You have to not care. No one else has the book in front. That book is hard to read.
It is so difficult to read.
Like seriously hard to read. So they... Can I say something etymology-wise?
Yes, please.
I don't know if I'm saying it right, guys. If it's, I think it's chiz.
Mm-hmm.
Like a chisel is what it looks like.
Okay.
So it's in English, it's the word for cheat or swindle, they say.
Yeah.
Right? And then purfle is a fur trimming border of a garment. Okay. So I don't know how those fit together, but that's the etymology on the word. And that's actually also from HarryPotterFandom.com.
Maybe she just had a couple too many drinks and that's what she came up with that day.
Maybe. Yeah.
We don't know. Yeah, but we don't know. I think you really have to watch out. I think there is something, you know, like you have your broomstick cleaning kit. I think you also have to clean your wand once in a while to make sure there's no parasites in there.
Dang. Hygiene, people.
Yep.
Hygiene. It's important. Gotta clean up.
So clean your wand.
Holy. Oh my God.
I am that type of person. I say stuff and I don't know. Call me naive.
You are. You are. And you're so sweet. Don't know if any or all of that's going to make it in the podcast.
I don't know either.
We'll see. Okay. Would I want to befriend one? Is that the question?
I think so.
Do you think I would?
I think you would love to become friends with a chiz purple.
These things look disgusting. They look like they, again, infest things and they get in places. And like, I am a very, you may not always realize it, but I would say, and you would agree with me, I think, that I'm a fairly clean person.
You are.
And I really like to keep things tidy and clean and stuff, you know. Honestly, if this were, you know, when you live in an apartment, you're kind of like, this is so bad to say. Sometimes when you have an apartment, you might not, I mean, I do keep it clean, but I could keep it cleaner. And if it were my house, I think I would. Matter of fact, there's some things that I would do to remodel and change stuff around, and then I would really keep it.
You're saying you will keep your house cleaner.
Even more clean than I keep the apartment.
Yeah. You will not leave your socks on the floor.
Oh, I'm still going to leave socks laying around. I mean, you know, you never know what room you walk into and your feet get cold and you may need those socks that you dropped from 3 days ago.
But you know what? You're lucky because you have some magic socks.
I swear.
Just on their own fly all the way over to the
laundry bin.
Laundry basket.
Yeah. They get washed.
They do.
And dried and they end up back in my drawer. I have no freaking clue how it happens, but I'm happy I'm happy it does, and that's all there is to it. So anyway, why was I saying that I wanted to keep things clean? Why was I saying that?
Because of the chiz purple. And
yes.
And you do not want to be friends with them.
No, because I feel like they represent like bugs that would like get, I don't know.
You know, yeah, in an abandoned wizard house. I think probably Grimmel Place was probably full of them.
Full. Absolutely full. You know, on the wiki, though, basically it says they're mentioned in the video game, your favorite, Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone, PS1 version.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah, that's what it says. That's where they were, I think.
Oh, I played it on the PC, though. So if it's not mentioned in the PC, I might have not read about it.
Oh, my gosh. It actually says that PS1 version only. That's the only place.
There you go.
Okay, that's why you didn't know it. All right.
That's the only reason why I did not know that.
Okay.
It's
so
not why, because
also
I
first appeared in The Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, Pottermore, Wizarding World, and Harry Potter Hogwarts Mystery, and then Legacy. It's mentioned only in Hogwarts Legacy. Good old Hogwarts Legacy, just picking up all sorts of different references. By the way, we need to get back to playing.
Yeah.
So, okay. So yeah, the answer is no. Don't want them. Don't want them around. And there we go. Okay, moving on to the reread.
Yes.
Here we go, friends. Chapter 11, The Firebolt. Harry enters a shock-like state after hearing that Sirius was his father's best friend and was made his godfather before he betrayed Lily and James and sold them to Lord Voldemort. That was all one sentence.
That should make it into the episode.
Okay. Harry doesn't even remember how he made it back to the Gryffindor common room. Before he goes to bed, he takes out the photo album that Hagrid gave him his first year. There he was, in his mom and dad's wedding picture, radiating with happiness. Sirius Black, who was their best man. Harry barely recognized the handsome face, full of laughter. A hatred he had never felt before began to course through him, and he drifts off into an uneasy sleep filled with nightmares about Black and Voldemort. The next morning, Harry wakes up and finds himself alone with Ron in the common room. He totally forgot it's Christmas break, so snow is falling outside the window, and all the other students have gone home to be with their families. Ron notices how exhausted his friend looks, and Harry finally opens up to him and Hermione about how he feels after they overheard Fudge and the teachers yesterday. He is angry and hurt, and the idea of doing nothing while Black is out there seems to be more than he can bear. Both Hermione and Ron are worried that Harry might do something reckless, such as go and try to hunt down Black himself. Ron attempts to quickly change the subject. He suggests they should enjoy the holidays for a bit and go down and visit Hagrid. To his surprise, Harry agrees, but not to celebrate Christmas with Hagrid. He wants to confront him about why he never told Harry about Black's friendship with his dad. When they reach Hagrid's hut, however, they find the half-giant in tears. He received a letter from the school governors regarding Buckbeak's attack on Malfoy in his class. If Hagrid doesn't win the case, Buckbeak will be sentenced to death. Harry forgets about his anger for a second, and the three promise Hagrid that they will help him to win Buckbeak's case. The next day, they borrow a large stack of books from the library and start roaming through them in the common room, searching for anything that might help the Hippogriff's defense. Even though they find nothing groundbreaking that day, they are determined to keep searching over the holidays. On Christmas morning, Harry and Ron excitedly unwrap their presents from Ron's mom and dad. Harry also finds a long, thin package among his small stack of presents. He unwraps it and lets out a gasp. Someone has sent him a firebolt. Ron drops his socks and the two boys start to examine the broom in disbelief. When Hermione joins them, she's surprised at the sight of the firebolt and wants to know who sent it. But when Harry tells her that he doesn't know, her face falls and she strongly advises him to have a teacher examine the broom before anyone rides it. Right when Ron starts to protest, something odd happens. Once again, Crookshanks tries to jump at Scabbers, who is hanging out of Ron's pajama pocket. Ron yells at the large cat and tries to kick him. At the same time, the sneakoscope in Uncle Vernon's sock has started to whistle shrilly. Harry quickly suffocates the noise and puts the sneakoscope back in the trunk, while Hermione escapes the boys' dormitory with a still aggressively staring Crookshanks on her arm. Ron's old rat does look like he's going to kick the bucket anytime now, skinny and thin-furred. But Harry knows that his friend would be very sad if Scabbers died, and he doesn't say anything. Later that day, the trio joins the small group of students and teachers in the Great Hall for the Christmas lunch. Professor Trelawney is the last one to arrive and dramatically glides towards the table like an otherworldly spirit. When she claims that it's extremely unlucky to have 13 people dining together at the same table, McGonagall fails to hide her annoyance with her esoteric colleague, and the two get into a spat. Dumbledore is in such high spirits that he immediately puts an end to their bickering and changes the subject to the delicious food in front of them. When Ron and Harry get up 2 hours later to leave the table with full bellies, Trelawney shrieks again. She is worried that one of them will now be the next to die, as they rose first from the table of 13. The rest of the table just chuckles at her concern, and the boys signal Hermione that they're going upstairs. But Hermione stays behind to have a chat with Professor McGonagall. When the two boys return to the common room, Harry quickly grabs the firebolt from the dormitory, and he and Ron admire it until the portrait swings open again. Hermione enters the common room, followed by Professor McGonagall. The head of Gryffindor House has come to confiscate the firebolt, after Hermione informed her that someone sent Harry the broom anonymously. She assures Harry that it shouldn't take more than a few weeks to have the broom examined. Harry and Ron are furious with their friend, yet Hermione stands her ground. She and McGonagall agree. The broom was probably sent to Harry by Sirius Black.
And we later find out that Hermione was actually right about that.
Yeah.
Not for the same reasons, though, that she thinks.
Well, she's right that Sirius delivered it.
No, yeah, she did. She is, but Sirius didn't deliver it to... There's no jinxes on the broom, not to harm Harry or anything,
true.
Right? That's what she and McGonagall fear.
Yeah.
And later, I'm going to tell you why Hermione did that and what her thoughts behind that was. Because I remember we were listening to the audiobook and you were like, nuh-uh, she did not tell him them. You can believe
it. Yeah, I was sort of shocked. I forgot. I was like, wait, she what? Come on, Hermione.
Yeah.
But good on her. You know, I think it's the right thing to do.
Oh, I know. She's concerned.
See something, say something.
Yep.
Hear something, say something about it.
Right. Okay, going back to the beginning of the chapter.
Right.
Harry hardly is able to find... I mean, he's just an autopilot. He's so in his... Mm-hmm. own world, shocked by what he heard in the three broomsticks.
Yeah. Yeah.
And because they basically told him the mass murderer everyone's looking for is his father's best friend, was his father's best friend, and he is his godfather.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, absolutely.
This is a question I think we're all asking,
mm-hmm.
or we all asked when we first read this, which is, yeah, why didn't they tell him? Why didn't they
why did no one tell him?
Is it ever? I think
because, yeah, they wanted to protect him, right?
But I don't get it, though. It's sort of like, I get, yeah, okay, that's easy. I mean, but where is Voldemort killed his parents. That's pretty hard.
Right.
So,
oh, you mean
is this harder than that?
Does he have a right to know?
I mean, it's just like, is this not more, I don't know what's more tragic about this than just the fact that the dark. I get that it was this betrayal and there's this extra layer and element, but it's like, okay, they were already hunted down.
Yeah.
By the Dark Lord and killed. So it's sort of like, that's hard to hear when he thought, first it was a car crash.
Right.
Then they say, hey, it was Voldemort and this Wizarding War was going on. And he came after your parents. And I mean, he already gets the gist of it. It's already pretty bad. It's already pretty, it's terrible. That's the worst that it can be right there. And then I understand, like, yeah, I mean, just give it to him all at once. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe not. Now it's kind of like spread his misery out a little bit here. And it's just
also not many people knew, though. Not many people. The reason why Black was imprisoned was because of the murder of 12 people. 12 yeah. Muggles.
Yeah, but Hagrid knows.
Right.
Dumbledore knows.
He does. Yeah.
You're right. Cornelius Fudge knows. And so all these people who have been around Harry and who have access to him and could have told him and filled him in. And Hagrid's the one who...
I know. And Harry knows it. And he wants to confront him.
Yeah.
Later this chapter. But I also remember Hagrid was so reluctant to be the one who tells him about, you know, who and his parents in the first place. And I think he just couldn't bring himself to tell him everything that day. Right. When Harry was even 2 years younger. He was just turned 11 years old.
Yeah, it's true, though. I got to back up a second because, yeah, who wants to really go talk about something that they're not so sure that person wants to? It's very difficult to kind of go do that. But one of the adults should have,
told him,
him, hey, do you need to talk about this? Do you want to know more? And
It's a theme. And later on, maybe Dumbledore should have told Harry a lot more, but it worked out. So should he really? I don't know.
Yes, he should have, actually. Okay. Anyway, it's wild and it's super hurtful and unfortunately, like, yeah, the story's all wrong, actually. Yeah. They don't all know. They're all misled. Yeah. That's the crazy thing with this is that even if they did tell him, he would have been, and they do here. He learns it from them and almost probably in a more authentic, not authentic, but like he gets all of their shock and the full.
Yeah.
He gets a full story here. That has a bunch of opinions and different things and develop all this stuff on Pettigrew. That wouldn't have come down to him, I don't think, from Dumbledore, right?
No one's trying to sugarcoat anything because they're just talking to each other. They don't know that Harry's actually listening. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's definitely a more raw, like, experience. And it's, you can see how I think it says when he's coming back through the passageway, what took an hour before felt like minutes. Remember when he goes to Hogsmeade and then on the way back, now it feels like minutes, but it took a full hour to get there. And the whole time he's just in his head thinking about stuff. So.
Yeah. And what he does when he gets back is he takes out the photo album that Hagrid gave him in his first year. At the end of his first year, super sweet present from Hagrid was he sent a bunch of owls to friends and family friends of Harry's parents to send photos. And he put together this album. And in that album, there is a picture of his parents' wedding day. And there is Sirius Black on them.
Best man.
And Harry never noticed it because he didn't know who that was. He doesn't know any of really.
Yeah,
of
just
his
someone who attended the wedding. Sure.
Yeah. And I was wondering who was all at the Potter's wedding. I was wondering, Remus must have been there, right? So why is he not in the pictures? But I guess Sirius was the best man. There's only one best man.
Well, and also, hey, now it could have just been the angle. You know, you can't capture everybody at the wedding party. Or maybe Sirius was...
I wonder if Sirius, though, if Remus was the one who sent that picture to Hagrid. You know, Hagrid reached out to different people, send me some pictures so I can give Harry... this photo album. I wonder if Remus was the one who sent that.
Was Remus there at their wedding? What if it was that time of month or something, you know? What? Seriously?
Sorry, that just sounded like...
Oh, yeah, sorry. But, I mean, you know, the lunar...
Mary Remus was on his period.
Yeah, so, I mean...
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, maybe it was. But at the same time, yeah, you could have... Like, for that, maybe he had an extra strong potion for that month.
Actually, yeah, what am I talking about? He definitely could have got something brewed up by... Even Lily herself, so.
But I Googled their wedding, and it says the two had a quiet wedding. Like you said, it was small. As this was during the height of the First Wizarding War, Lily's older sister Petunia did not attend, for she was highly against Lily being a witch and marrying a wizard. It's highly likely that Remus Lupin and Peter Pettigrew attended, as they were best friends of James. Both James' parents, Flamel and Euphemia Potter attended the wedding, and it's not known as to whether either of Lily's parents attended as well. So we don't really know. Somewhere is, apparently it's said that James' parents were there, but it seems to be a very small, have been in very small intimate wedding. Mm-hmm. Wedding. That's very German.
Yeah. Gotcha. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. So it's just always mind-boggling to me that Harry has that photo album, and I think it was beautifully made in the first movie, how we see that picture, you know, wizarding style, moving.
Yeah, yeah.
The
yeah.
two are dancing.
Right, right.
And I think it's really, really cool how they did that. And yeah. how it shows how much Harry wants to be. You know, sometimes Harry's life could have gone a little different. I feel like he's so connected to his parents. I think there's still so much love, even though he never really knew them. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Some people would forget about them because they have a new set of parents. People who took him in mm-hmm. and who gave him a home, but he never had that.
Yeah.
That's why also he can't let go of that.
Yeah, true. Because yeah, he's not being brought
he
up
never
by...
had a foster mom and dad.
Right, right. Like, had he have gone to Sirius and Sirius wasn't imprisoned and he was his godfather and raised him with all these wonderful, awesome memories and
yeah.
stuff. It's still he holds the memory of his mother and father fondly in his mind.
Yeah.
But it's also kind of wrapped up in all these other childhood memories with Sirius.
Right.
And Sirius talking about his mom and dad or whatever. But when you go to the Dursleys, mm-hmm. that doesn't happen. You don't get that experience at all. And you're just sort of... You're kind of left wondering, and he's thinking about them, and he's always reflecting back on his parents and how his life would have been if they lived on, and how he could escape the misery and the torment of being stuck in there with his, mm-hmm. his cousin and his you know abusive aunt and uncle.
Yes, so, we always say how well he turned out despite their how they treated him.
Yeah,
that
toxic environment, and he still comes out.
Pretty okay.
Yeah, okay, you know, confident, brave, doing the right thing and trying to do what's best all the time. So,
yeah. Then the next thing I want to point out is that I love Ron, and I love their relationship, Harry and Ron's relationship, because I think Harry needs Ron, especially in those moments where Harry feels more than anyone else like he is that chosen kid, you know, who sometimes he gets into that mindset where everything bad's happening to me.
Yeah.
And he cannot believe after all he's gone through, after 2 years ago, he learned his parents were killed by the Dark Wizard. And now his parents' best friend was actually the one who betrayed them. And you just go down that dark, you know, to that dark, dark place. And then Ron comes in and he looks out for Harry. He's just there with his... Oh. He's just eating a peppermint toad, massaging his stomach when Harry comes in. He's like, I was going to wake you up, man. And he's with all the challenges they face growing up together, right? I mean, later on we see they get in fights and stuff, but they need that. They need each other. And I think Ron is just that person who's all about enjoying themselves, eating good food, and hoping to get one up on Malfoy from time to time like teenagers do.
Yeah. Yeah, true. I mean, he's a great friend, and I often think this friendship. Sometimes people talk a lot about Hermione and Harry, but Ron's almost of the trio. I feel like I don't know, last tier or bottom tier for some people like of the three, and I don't think so.
They're magical powers, but
yeah, but I mean, he's the heart. He's the humor. He's just
he can be mean.
Down to earth.
Yeah,
for sure, he can be. He can be.
But also, he's a teenager.
Well, yeah, they all kind of can be. I mean, they're, you know. But I will say, too, that he just learned that his father's best friend betrayed him. And then here, his best friends are trying to keep him, you know, on the right path.
Yes.
So this idea of friendship, like his father's best friend.
Oh.
You see what I'm saying? Like, betrayed
him.
Yes. And now he's got his best friends.
Yeah.
And the strength in their friendship is really hardcore because.
Yeah.
Doesn't waver. He doesn't start to kind of let that seep in and say, I got to go this alone. You know what?
Right.
Because people betrayed my father. It could have went that way. It could have been a thread that the author took. But this is...
I love that. Yeah. Because actually, Harry does go down that dark path for a little bit. And
they rehearsed this conversation.
They did. Yes.
Which is super cute, by the way.
I know.
Guarantee they were talking before. Like, they were just like, hey, you want to get up early? Yeah.
I know. I need...
Meet you, like, down by the fireplace.
I need... Sometimes I want someone to fill those gaps. What are Hermione and Ron up to in those early years where they spend a lot of time together because sometimes Harry does something else or he can't come with them to Hogsmeade early on and stuff like that. Yeah, I love that.
Oh, but this is where the relationship started.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
For sure, in this book. And... So, yeah, because, I mean, Harry even says it felt like this was rehearsed. Like, Hermione would say one thing, and then Ron would say another thing, and then you're like, okay, they've thought this through. They think I'm going to go off the deep end. Mm-hmm. They're trying to get me focused on stuff. Ron's even throwing out games they can play and stuff.
Oh, I know. He's trying to take his mind off of things, and he even says, like, you know, at the end, look, obviously casting around for a change of... Okay, cut that out. So he's trying to... Ron is even trying to... He's the one who's trying to change the subject and says, look, it's the holidays. It's nearly Christmas. Let's go down and see Hagrid. Let's have some fun. It's not, you know, it's a little bit of a...
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Evasive strategy or like, I don't want to deal with it right now, but also we need to, we're kids.
Yeah.
We need you to focus on something else for a little bit.
Right. Take your mind off of things.
Yeah.
Because he's been dwelling on it since he heard it, and he went to sleep, had nightmares, and Ron probably heard some of those. That's not mentioned, but you think of the things that happened that night. Yeah, I think he probably did. And then he's like, Hermione, we got to say something to him and get his mind off this, because last night I heard some night terrors.
Yes.
Pretty bad. And
Harry's being absolutely irrational, because Hermione points out that, you know, his parents wouldn't want him to go and look for a murderer for their sake.
Right.
Never would want them. And Harry just says, well, I don't know what they would want.
Yeah.
And instead of, Hermione's got a point, but he just is very irrational, which is understandable. But that's why he needs his friends in that moment. To help him, like you said, take his mind off of things. And he does agree going to Hagrid, but because he's still trying to figure out why did Hagrid not tell him.
And I'm still trying to figure it out. You know, I looked up here why people didn't, what their thoughts were. And there's really no, I don't think he ever even comes back around and does talk to Hagrid about it. I don't think
later, even when he finds out that Sirius is innocent. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, whatever. I mean, it's kind of an easy way just to say Hagrid gets off the hook because of the
because of
Buckbeak, you know, but that's all right.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, as you're going down, and you have the book there, I don't know if you can find it in time or not, but... Mm-hmm. As they're leaving the castle, so they do agree to go down, and they describe the Forbidden Forest, and they describe Hagrid's hut. It's perfect.
They made their way slowly down the lawn, making a shallow trench in the glittering, powdery snow, their socks and the hems of their cloaks soaked and freezing. The Forbidden Forest looked as though it had been enchanted, each tree smattered with silver, and Hagrid's cabin looked like an iced cake.
Mm.
Ron knocked, but there was no answer.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah. really cool. And so Christmas break, and it just paints a really cool picture.
Yeah, taking that moment to acknowledge that picture that she painted. Yep.
Yeah. Great. So we'll go in, though, and Hagrid is distraught because, as we know earlier in the book, Malfoy was being Malfoy and rode up on Buckbeak and said whatever he said.
Oh, something
you
bloody
insulting
chicken. It.
Didn't he call him a bloody chicken? Didn't he?
Is that a bad insult? I don't know.
I don't know, actually.
But yeah, he did. So he insulted him.
Oh, is it bad to say bloody? Is that a bad word?
I don't know. I don't know, you English-speaking people.
We'll see if that stays in or not. Anyway, Malfoy rolls up and says something, you know, really nasty to Buckbeak, and Buckbeak attacks him, and he kind of, we haven't seen that. He's been playing hurt for the whole time or whatever, and it's sort of like that. I love Hagrid because of how emotionally attached he gets to these fantastic beasts, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just, because I love Newt Scamander so much, and so Hagrid's that guy who who is really like looking out for him and stuff.
Yep.
And it's just so sad to see him like this though, because
it is sad.
He cares so much.
Yes, and that's why he would be the perfect teacher, actually. Yeah. That was a great lesson. Had Malfoy not been stupid. Sorry.
Yeah, I hate to say that.
Or
so
acted stupid. Yeah.
We had some art teachers who I think they, I don't know if they still do it or not, but they used to like, the kids would cut different pieces of like jewelry or metal or something.
Ooh, wow.
And they had these little tiny like blades that were very sharp, uh-huh. right? And you had to wear special gloves and different stuff. And so kids would get cut or they would hurt themselves. And then I think they had to like say activity's over. And I don't know if the kids, it was an accident. It felt like a lot of times there were kids that were just being silly, being kids. And it's like, okay, no, sorry.
Yeah.
We can't, because of maturity levels, we can't do things that would be more fun and cool like that. It had just, you know, the rate of accident can be a little bit
higher. Sometimes people forget that teachers are always in the public eye. And when somebody gets hurt in your class, no matter if it's your fault or not, and you have told them a million times not to do something, people are always going to ask, what did you do and why did it happen in your classroom?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And, that's something...
Right.
You know, that responsibility.
I mean, like the crazy thing is like you're teaching class, you turn up and you're working a math problem on the board and then a fight breaks out in the class.
Yeah.
What was the teacher doing and why weren't they back there and what happened? It's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
You try. There's 30 kids in the room.
Right.
One kid punches another kid. And then the next thing you know, we're all down in the office and everyone's like investigating it. And it's like, I was teaching, you know, functions and how to factor and stuff like that. I don't know what like. So anyway, it's crazy. It is a little bit crazy, and there's a lot there. That's too bad because I mean we're also at a magical school, and so they're doing a lot of dangerous stuff. You know, defense against the dark arts and transfiguration and potions, and then we've got magical beast.
To be honest, if some of the Gryffindor parents knew what was going on in Snape's class, like if Neville's grandma wanted to take Snape to court one day, she could.
Absolutely, she could. Absolutely.
To be quite frank.
Right. And
and I'm not Frank.
No, you're not.
That was such a stupid
joke. You're not. that was pretty corny.
Oh,
but it was cute.
I'm making the dad jokes now.
Wow. We might be cutting that out.
I mean, my face went so red.
I mean, that's it. I have to redeem myself. I have to take back the dad joke status. Anyway, so that's just kind of they decided to help him though, and I think that's super nice. They're gonna go look up some different cases and mount a defense, and he has this moment where he's depressed, and Fang comes over and puts his head down on his lap, and you're like, oh man, you know, that's I love that dog. I'm not a dog person, by the way.
Yeah,
you're not either.
Not really.
Are people gonna hate us for saying that?
I'm actually.
We're cat
sometimes
people.
I wonder if someone handed me a dog, if I would get really.
Oh, you always
to it
play and, with dogs. Yeah. Anytime there's an animal.
I love animals in general.
Yeah, I full on take that back. Lottie is just an animal person.
I would say I'm a cat person, but I would also take in a dog if I had to. You know, I would give. I just like to give.
Although
some love.
It's crazy. Fang, in the way they show him in the show, he's drooling everywhere.
I know.
What?
Yep.
It's just crazy.
He's actually really funny.
I mean, your cats drove me nuts in Germany.
Oh, yeah. They sometimes would start drooling if they're really comfortable.
Ugh.
And they get on your chest and they start doing that cat massaging thing.
Yeah.
And they just start purring. Leo was such a drooler.
Oh,
it was gross.
It was gross.
But he was so cute while doing it.
He was cute.
He was
cute,
so adorable.
But not when he was drooling. I don't know. Yeah, they were crazy. But and also, they were shedding everywhere.
I can't imagine.
Hagrid and Fang together in the same place. Talking about cleanliness earlier. I don't think so. I don't think I could room with Hagrid.
No.
At all.
Nay.
Nay. Nine. So, but yeah, anyways, they're going to go back in, though. They go to the library, don't they? They go in and
the next day they go to the library. They're determined to help him. And that actually had the effect that Ron and Hermione wanted for Harry to take his mind off of things. You know, focus on helping someone.
Right, right.
And that's actually a cool...
Oh my gosh.
...way to...
A connection to one of your books and one of the things you've been reading, which is that when you are grateful, when you're grateful or you're helping or you're doing something like that, it's much more difficult to be anxious or to be fearful or to be...
Oh, yeah, they said that.
Yeah, you
that
know?
Your, something like your brain...
Your brain can't do them both at the same time.
No, because they're coming from the same place.
Same hemisphere, same spot of... same
of the brain, yeah.
Yeah, same portion or function or whatever. Whatever part of the brain that is like responsible for like thinking about or
yeah. So when you're grateful, you can't really be anxious. No, you can probably switch back and forth real quick. But if you're getting into a mindset and making it a habit, being grateful maybe every morning, every night before you go to bed, thinking about things that you're grateful for, then it will help with anxiety.
Yeah, yeah. And so this is kind of like a little, this is more like Hagrid just kind of got into, they're helping him and then he's finding ways to help himself and he's grateful for this opportunity and he's able to kind of, you know, mount a defense and we'll see. There's always a chance, right? Even though we know they're, they're well paid, it seems like, by Lucius Malfoy. So probably not going to go well. And
I know. It's surprising to me. Is he still on that? Is he still a school governor after what happened last year? I don't think he is.
No, I don't know how exactly.
Yeah, how is he still? Because Malfoy ran to his father. Maybe he's maybe not on the school board or whatever anymore, but maybe he still has that influence.
Well, it seemed like so Dumbledore, like they wanted to get him expelled and Dumbledore's like, nah, that's not happening. The governors are like, yeah, you're right. Okay, that's not happening. And then, it seems like with Buckbeak though, it's a different group. It's not the governors necessarily. They're turning it over to another group of extermination, like the extermination unit or whatever.
Yeah.
And so that unit seems to be in the pockets or whatever, being supported or funded in some way by Lucius. So seems like it's a case. It's not going to work no matter what kind of...
no matter what kind of defense they're bringing on. Yeah.
Because
they're already being paid.
So, I mean, come on, Dumbledore.
It's really corrupt.
Hold on a second. Dumbledore goes to Harry's defense when he clearly used magic in front of a muggle. And Buckbeak didn't do anything.
Man, and Hagrid is, like, Hagrid does so much for Dumbledore, and Dumbledore couldn't show up for Buckbeak.
Well, hold on. That's what Hagrid says. He's sort of like, I can't do...
Oh, that's true.
He's like, I can't ask Dumbledore to do anything more for me because he's already done so much for me.
Yeah.
Right?
Maybe it's true.
I mean, Hagrid, technically, I saw a great question the other day, and I might turn this into a short, which is like, does Voldemort or does, Lord Voldemort remember Hagrid? Does he remember him?
Yeah, from school times.
From school, and he's the one who turned him in and blamed
the
Chamber of Secrets on him. So.
He definitely knows who he is because in the last book,
when
Hagrid, he definitely knows who he is. He's not like asking, who's this giant? He definitely knows who he is,
Yeah.
I mean, whether that be because his spies at Hogwarts told him about Hagrid or no, I think he remembers him.
Right. It's just interesting that there's this, that Dumbledore's been looking out for Hagrid since that time. And, you know,
Now, again, is that because Dumbledore knows he will need the giants one day and maybe, you know, has he been scheming since
he's always got an extra.
No, I want to be the one who sees the good side in Dumbledore and says, he actually cares about.
Well, perfect. We'll be a balanced podcast then. I'll be the person who sees.
Oh, okay.
You know.
See more dark in Dumbledore.
I force myself to.
We need to read the book about Dumbledore and then decide.
Yeah, his secrets.
We have it here.
Do we really?
Yes. Okay. So.
All right. Well, down. But anyway, so moving on from that, I guess as we get into Christmas. So we went back in, we looked at the books and all that good stuff, and then it takes us into Christmas morning. The presents show up, and we've got some good ones in there. Got some good gifts.
Pretty amazing presents.
And there's, a mysterious package that shows up. And,
first of all,
Harry,
again, gets a sweater, a Weasley sweater, because he is Molly's son-in-law right now because of Ron, later on because of Ginny.
Yes.
Kind of.
No, seriously.
Yeah.
Straight up, he's a member of the family. He's getting the sweaters.
Yeah.
Did Hermione get one yet? When does she start to get them?
We don't know. We never see Hermione unwrap her. Hermione unwraps her presents alone in the girls' dormitory.
Bless her heart. I know that we do talk about it that later on. They talk about gifts that they get each other and stuff that they're going to get for each other. But yeah. Okay. Cool.
She might.
Anyway, I just. So they're unwrapping gifts, and Harry got some good candies, I think, as well, too, I think is something he got. But then he sees the long package, and they both are marveling away at it.
What could that be? It looks like very long, long package.
Yeah,
I love the scene in the first movie. when like staring at the package, which looks exactly shaped like a broom, and
they're like,
"What is that?"
Yeah,
Let's open it, Harry.
Yeah, it's a broom, guys. And so, you know, Hermione is like, it could be jinxed. There's no,
Yeah.
What if he would have just said, hey, it's from Molly and Arthur, right? And then.
Yeah, I know. He probably wished he would have done that. Yes.
Yeah.
But he was just too honest. He didn't expect Hermione to react like that. He was surprised. Right.
Well, but then, if Harry is like, hey, thanks, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Weasley. And then like, what, for what? For a broom? No, we didn't do that.
I know.
And now we're in trouble. So.
But before they can really discuss it here, something happens with Scabbers. We see the little attack again.
Oh, yeah.
Crookshanks tries to attack Scabbers because we know, you know, Scabbers is bad. Crookshanks knows it.
He's Pettigrew.
Ron keeps Scabbers in his pajama pocket. He probably... I don't know.
There's
after
trauma.
He found out, he probably
there's
got to
be trauma for that, like, later on.
I mean, he was his little buddy, you know?
Yeah, I know.
His little rat. It's really, really strange thinking back to...
Yeah, it really is.
How Ron reflected on that. But anyway, so Crookshanks attacks him. Ron's really mad, tries to kick him, and the sneak scope comes off again. And that's kind of odd, like...
Well, it's because of Scabbers.
Yeah, but Scabbers was in the room before. And only when Crookshanks jumps at him is when the sneak scope's like, oh,
yeah,
there's something
bad. It could be that thing. They said it was faulty. Remember, we thought it was faulty. So it could be a little bit like fading, or maybe it's proximity. Maybe it was knocked closer or something.
Maybe it was, yeah.
Because there's a little commotion happening.
It's just hilarious. It's always Harry keeps it in Uncle Vernon's socks because he doesn't like them either. And
Would you keep those socks around, though?
I don't know, because he needs some socks.
Also, what's with socks in this whole series, you know?
Oh, I know. They're mentioned a lot.
Dobby's socks, Vernon's socks, Ron drops his socks in this, you know?
Dumbledore talks about how he's holding socks when he looks in the mirror of Erised. That's
right.
His lie.
I should look up in each book how many times socks is mentioned.
The theme of Thoth.
The theme of Thoth. The Fox, theme of socks.
Socks.
Does Fox have socks?
Harry Potter, the fox. Why doesn't nobody become a fox as an animagus? That'd be so cool.
People
socks
say Dumbledore does.
Are an important symbol for Dobby, who's well, there's some articles I'm not gonna go over, but there is definitely a whole wiki entry about socks and Harry Potter.
Okay.
So maybe one day we'll read it and cover it.
We'll
do
a whole episode on
socks.
Socks. For you guys.
I have a funny story. When I was little, you know how. When you're little, you just want, like, toys, something to play with for Christmas. And I remember opening one of my grandma's presents. And my grandpa, he was filming us, little kids. And I was, like, so excited, you know, unwrapping my present. And there were socks in there. And you just see on the film, on the movie, you see my face just fell. And I openly say to my grandma, Socken, which means socks in German.
Oh, and you were disappointed.
And then I, though, see my grandma's face, and I knew I said something wrong.
Oh.
And I was so sad then that I didn't. It was just my natural reaction as a little kid.
Yeah.
That I was a little disappointed just getting socks. And then, but I then saw my grandma's face, and I was like, oh, no.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
And then here at Full Circle, guys, 20 years later, I send Lottie socks when we first start talking.
Oh, my goodness, you did. And I love them.
The reaction was quite different.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I love... Actually, you need socks. You can never have enough socks.
Oh, I know. That's why. Always, yeah, they were Harry Potter themed also, by the way. Yeah, they were.
Yes, they were. Star Wars and Harry Potter themed.
Yeah, there was some Dobby stuff on there. Wow, can you believe that?
That was awesome. So, yeah, love socks. I mean, nowadays, I would always, except.
Yeah, here's a poll. And this might be a little intimate or a little personal, but like, how many people sleep with socks on? I don't.
Big question.
No way. There's no way. You do.
No, I sometimes do and sometimes don't. I enjoy sleeping without socks too from time to time, but my problem is I do get cold.
Yeah.
But when the temperature is right, I actually like taking them off.
Mm-hmm. Gotta let them breathe. You know what
day
I mean?
Day is true. Yeah, I know.
Breathe.
If you wear them day and night, yeah, it's probably not good.
Oh, my gosh.
Gotta ground a little bit and then let them
breathe. Oh, yeah. Get your grounding in, folks. Right. Make sure you take your shoes off, go out, get on the soft grass or wherever. You can find some dirt, some earth, some soil, and ground away.
magical. Sorry.
Just sharing with folks. I mean, it's Hobbit. It's Hobbit weekend also, so celebrate.
True. Furry we toes, did. We know? Were grounding yesterday.
Yeah, we were. And Hobbit feet. Okay.
So Hermione and Ron are mad at each other again because Ron doesn't think it's fair. His rat looks bad, and Harry sees it. He's like, "Oh, that rat is old, and it's probably gonna die soon."
Yep.
But he doesn't want to tell his friend because he knows like Ron kind of loves Scabbers.
Right. What's funny is that earlier when Harry came out of the dormitory, Ron said, "You look terrible.
Yeah,
you look rough, man." Yeah. And sometimes you need a friend like that, you know. Yep. But in this situation, like this is not like a come and go look for Scabbers. Scabbers has looked like this for a long time. It's real.
And Ron is already upset and ticked off by Hermione's cat. So
yeah.
So, but yeah, and eventually they all go down together to Christmas lunch, which kind of is, I feel like it's lunch and dinner in one thing because they just sit there for 2 hours.
Yeah. No, that's good. That's a midday kind of like celebrate Christmas.
I like it.
Yeah, yep. I think that's good.
And it's so cute and intimate because there's no one there. There's literally three other students.
Right.
And they get rid of the
Who
house table.
Who are those students,
I know,
though?
I was wondering. It was a Slytherin, older Slytherin, I think, and 2 first years.
But, like, who are they?
I know. Why didn't they go?
Why did they stay?
You know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There's a story there. I'm going to look into it.
I know. Do we get names? I think we just get descriptions.
I think we just get
this, yeah, like a Slytherin and 2 first years whose house we don't even know.
But imagine them being there with the older Harry Potter, right? The chosen one.
I know.
And they decided to stay. Imagine, what if they're first years and they're sort of like, hey, rumor is... Harry stays.
Oh,
he stays.
Like, we
for
gotta
Christmas.
Stay too.
Like, maybe we should stay.
I mean, shocked that it's not the Creevy brothers, but they probably have to go home to their family. But,
yeah, yeah. But I mean, later these rascals. These could be 2 rascals that are just, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe down the line, later in their life, they still tell their kids stories about how they dine with Harry Potter, Hermione, and Ron Weasley.
Right. And Trelawney made the prediction, and we're not sure whether it's Ron, or Harry who are going to die first. But ironically, it's Dumbledore.
Oh, tell me about it.
Wow.
Tell us about it. What's the prediction here?
Yeah, as they're sitting there, Trelawney shows up, walks down, and she said, you know, something about sitting down at the table. And, I would have headmaster, but there's 13 and I dare not sit down. I'll become 13.
Right. They're 12 now. They're visible 12 people
visible
on the table.
People.
And she's the number 13.
If she sits down, she would make it 13.
Right.
And, Dumbledore stands up and says, oh, you know, kind of like he stood up to greet her as she was approaching.
Right. Yes.
What we find out later is that as Trelawney was approaching, there were 13 people sitting there. Peter Pettigrew is in the pocket of Ron Weasley.
We don't know that. That's a...
Oh, how dare you. How dare you.
Yeah. Maybe he wants to keep him close because he's so...
That's the prophecy of 13. There's 13 if you count them up.
Now that you say that, hang on a second. So we have... Let me see something.
You gonna read the actual... Okay.
Because I think Scabbers is mentioned when they go to the feast.
Pretty sure.
Okay, here's they're unwrapping the presents. Here is when Trelawney enters. Let me see real quick. Because that would be crazy. I mean, that's then true.
It's true. She predicts Dumbledore's death.
So Harry, remembering what the woman at the magical menagerie had said. So he's talking about Scabbers. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's when when he says, it doesn't look so good. But at lunchtime, they went down to the Great Hall to find that the house tables had been moved, blah, blah, blah. The professors are all there. Maybe that was another time. I thought there was something mentioned that it smelled so good that even Scabbers was sticking his nose out or something like that. That would be crazy to me because then they're absolutely right. And that's not just a theory, but that's absolutely true. Absolutely. At lunchtime, they went down to the Great Hall to find that the house tables had been moved against the walls again, and that a single table set for 12 stood in the middle of the room. Professors Dumbledore, McGonagall, Snape, Sprout, and Flitwick were there.
Count those.
Along with Filch, who had taken off his cover, molly-looking tailcoat. There were only three other students, two extremely nervous-looking first years and a sullen-faced Slytherin fifth year. Merry Christmas, said Dumbledore as Harry, Ron, and Hermione approached the table. As there are so few of us, it seemed foolish to use the house table. Sit down, sit down. Harry, Ron, and Hermione sat down side by side at the end of the table. Actually, that I almost forgot to read this because this was hilarious. And why, my question was, why is this not part of the movie? Dumbledore said, crackers, offering the end of a large silver noisemaker to Snape, who took it reluctantly and tugged. With a bang like a gunshot, the cracker flew apart to reveal a large pointed witch's hat topped with a stuffed vulture. Mm. Harry, remembering the Boggart, caught Ron's eye and they both grinned. Snape's mouth thinned and he pushed the hat toward Dumbledore, who swapped it for his wizard's hat at once. This is so good. And I wish it was at least a deleted scene in the movie, but yeah. It's a movie in my head now. So
right. Yeah.
But I don't see, I thought I read something about Scabbers nose popping out. It smells so good. But I was wrong.
Yeah, so the idea is just
that still speculating.
Yeah, it's just the idea that Scabbers is with Ron most of the time and therefore made it 13. So when Dumbledore stood up, he was standing from a table of 13, actually, yep. Ironically. And so
yep.
He's the first to die in that prediction, right? So, and that's...
Yeah.
Ends up being true later. So,
but everyone's just laughing at her.
Yeah, for sure.
They just make fun of her, especially McGonagall. It is not like, it's not, they don't have the same frequency here.
Yeah.
I was wondering when Dumbledore tries to break up the kind of fight between Trelawney and Minerva, he's addressing that one first year, Derek. He says, have you had any of these chipolatas? And I was like, what are chipolatas? I've never heard of
that
word.
Who's Derek?
Yeah, there we have a name. Who's Derek?
Are you serious?
Hold on. Yeah, his name is Derek. He's a first year.
How do you spell it?
Derek.
D-E-R-E-K. Okay, Derek Harry Potter. Let's find him.
While you're searching, I can tell our listeners, a chipolata is a type of fresh sausage likely created in France. Sausages by that name appear in the 1903 edition of Escoffier's Le Guide. That's French. I can't read that. So small pork sausages. That are, okay, some others say they're Italian. They're enjoyed throughout Europe. Okay, so small sausages he offers to that first-year kid.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And he...
Shout out to Derek, a named character, actually.
True.
Like an actual first-year.
Hmm.
That is
I wonder
awesome.
If we do get his name at any point in time after this.
Should we just make up a last name for him? Mm. What's his name? I'm just thinking here, like, so what are some of the good, like, I don't know, like the good wizarding families, you know?
Derek Fitherby.
Fitherby? Derek Fitherby? That actually is not too bad.
I know.
Oh, you did? Because you didn't look like you,
I know, I was waiting for your reaction.
So there's the Sacred 28 families. You've got Derek, Derek Abbott.
Oh, really?
Derek. No, I'm just.
Oh.
I'm making up
names. Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Derek Slughorn, Derek Travers, Derek Yaxley, Derek Pruitt, Derek Lestrange, Derek Greengrass. Greengrass was one of the names for the sacred.
That's who Draco ends up marrying.
What in mm-hmm. the world?
Yep.
Oh my gosh, you're right.
Yep.
Daphne Greengrass.
Yes, sir.
Holy. Okay, anyway, sorry. Tangent there.
So Derek and chipolatas.
Let's make a short on Derek. I bet you many people don't know.
No, I wouldn't have. I forgot that
Derek
he was in there.
And his friend Tom.
Yeah, we can. Yep. Yeah. Maybe
I don't know if we should call him Tom. Okay. All right. Moving on. Sorry about that.
Oh no, you're fine. We love the side characters. Okay.
Yeah.
What's my next point here? Why Hermione told on Harry? I promised you guys I would explain Hermione's thought process. Why she told on Harry and Ron. Because they get up. Trelawney's all worked up. Oh, no. They rose. Who rose first? They don't know. This is all suspenseful because we, you know, in the end, we don't know. Is one of them going to get killed? Was Trelawney right?
Right.
But at that point, we don't know. It's actually Dumbledore. So they get up. They go upstairs again. Hermione stays behind. She says she wants to talk to McGonagall real quick. And then... The two boys can't wait to just admire the Firebolt again. They're absolutely into sports, into Quidditch. They love that, you know, brand new gear.
Oh, they're blinded. Awesome. They're blinded by that. There's, and Hermione knows that. She knows they're blinded by this shiny broom.
Yes. And so Hermione did tell McGonagall that Harry got this broom from an anonymous sender. Yeah.
Excuse me, Professor. Could I talk to you about this broom that we found?
How do you do a British accent?
I wish I could do a really good British accent and just pull off a Hermione. We're not going to try it right now. But yeah, she's like...
Hey. I need to watch her for a little bit, like Emma, and hear her. Then I can channel her.
I just love when she says, holy cricket.
Oh, yeah.
I love when she says, holy cricket. Crickets are lucky. Anyway, sorry.
What does she say when she's... You're going to poke someone's eye out or something like that.
Yeah. You're going to poke someone's eye out. I don't know. There's a couple people on TikTok that do really good impersonations of Emma Watson, Hermione Granger.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. Anyway, but she stays behind and she does the right thing. She talks to McGee and says, listen, there's a strange package delivered and it somehow got through the outpost and it's unmarked.
And they don't, I mean, McGonagall just straight out says, yep, she told me. But Hermione tries to hide and she just... She's sits down in that chair.
Yeah.
She holds a book upside down. Obviously, Hermione never, she doesn't, in that moment, she doesn't look at the book at all. She's just very embarrassed. She doesn't want them to find out. But McGonagall's just blunt. She's just like, yep, Miss Granger told me I need to confiscate the broom. And they need to check it. But before we talk about why it takes weeks for them to check the broom, Hermione, if we go back to how many times in this book she's been worried about Black and Harry not being careful enough. We have the Marauder's Map where she told him, Harry, I think you should turn in.
Yes.
And then Harry's like, oh, what? You're going to tell me?
Yeah.
And she's like, no. But she does worry about it because also she's right. If Black, she doesn't know Sirius actually created the map and knows about all these passageways and he could get in there anytime. But if he was an actual mass murderer, if that map ever got into his hands, that would be the key to getting into Hogwarts and finding Harry or killing other students. It's not just they think he doesn't care about other students either.
Yeah.
She is right about that, but she decides they were friends. I don't want to be, I don't want to tell on them because we're friends. We trust each other.
Yeah.
And they got, I got their backs.
Right.
Then the thing about being in Hogsmeade at all without permission, and there's a reason why no one would want to give Harry permission this year. She's like, I don't think it's good. Mm-hmm. And Ron's like, look at the snow. He's never going to be able to find us here. Yeah. Everyone's looking for him. The Dementors are here. So no worries. Right. And she's like, I don't know. And then also going out on the grounds at night to see Hagrid. Harry, we shouldn't do that. This whole time, she's like, she has a bad feeling.
Yeah.
And then this is just the tip of the iceberg.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you say?
Yeah, tip of the iceberg.
Yes. And she's like, okay, this time. And her thought process behind it is really just protect Harry. And she thinks about what if he gets on that broom and he dies. He falls and dies. And
Go ahead.
She has seen him at Quidditch.
Jinxed. A broom jinxed.
In the first year, yes. Yes. And then she's almost seen him. She's seen him almost die this year.
Dementors.
When the Dementors came.
Yes.
And she just thinks... Rogue
Bludger, second year.
That too. Oh my goodness.
Everything
she
is
knows
like Quidditch.
He attracts. Yes, it's dangerous.
Yeah, so.
And she just knows she could never be happy again if she knows she could have prevented it because she has that bad gut feeling with it.
Man, great poll, actually. Was Hermione correct in turning?
I mean, it's a dilemma, but it's not the first time that dilemma happens in her head where... should I tell my friends? That's not what I should do.
Yeah.
I mean, essentially later on, she is nasty when someone like Marietta tells on Dumbledore's army.
Snitch.
She doesn't believe in that kind of stuff.
Right. Yeah. But here she is doing it.
But at the same time, I can totally understand it. She would never.
That's why her secondary house, I told folks, it's Slytherin. Slytherin. Right, she becomes more Slytherin as the series goes on.
Yeah. Yeah,
because you're
true.
Right, later on, Marietta is just sort of like, this is what I got to do.
Yep.
I mean, this isn't, we're breaking the rules.
Right, she may be just trying to protect her.
The adults say we shouldn't be doing this stuff, and all the teachers say we shouldn't be doing it, and you guys are breaking the rules. Like, sorry, but you're total rule breakers. You have a whole organization that's like practicing spells unsupervised, no teachers, no nothing, and you're fighting. You have a fight club going on.
Yes, actually,
you're stupefying each other, and Mariette is the one who's like getting all the markings on her face and everything.
Cross one.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. So here she is.
Yeah. Yeah, but again, she just does it to protect her friend.
Yeah. Would Marietta have told on Harry and Ron right now?
Whoa.
Don't think so.
Whoa. Don't think so. That's a bold prediction.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway.
I mean, not prediction, but theory.
Idea.
Yeah, but the fact that she did, I do think she did the right thing, flat out.
For folks who want a good laugh, go back about a minute, 2 minutes ago, and you guys decide whether I just, and Lottie knows when I pick on her a little bit, it's just because it's cute and it's her German. It just gets in there sometimes, but I'm pretty sure she said dilemon. They had a dilemon.
It's a lemon in her head.
Yeah, they had a dilemon. It was a dilemma, but it might have been a dilemon.
Hey, it says dilemma on my dock. Okay.
Oh, you're so cute.
I think I'm driving a bus here.
Oh man, I can just see. I mean, when when life gives you dilemons, you got to make the lemonade. You know what I'm saying? Like
that's so cute. My students said that. So many of my students put that down because I asked them. They had to make like a little profile about themselves and in German say what their favorite things are. And I, they had to put a motto down. And I read probably, I don't know, 10 times I read lemon and lemonade thing.
Lemonade motto. When life gives you
lemons. I mean, it's true.
Hey, good for them.
Yeah. So.
All right.
I have a dilemma now. How do we get to the next point without just saying, here's our next point? Hermione tells on them. McGonagall comes in, takes the broomstick. Harry and Ron are mad. But again, they agree on it. It probably was sent by Sirius Black, and now they have to examine it. But why does it take weeks for them to check the broom? I think they have to make probably a special potion or something. I mean, they probably... using spells doesn't take that long, you know? And you feel like, how many tests do they have to...
Wait a second. You think for this broom to check the jinxes, they might actually, like...
It's part of it, I think.
Pour a potion on it or rub a potion on it, maybe?
Yeah.
And it reveals...
Something that reveals, yeah. I would think so.
Oh, like they give it a good rub.
Even though she talks more about Flitwick than Snape, who should... and Madame
Charms,
Hooch.
Yeah, yeah.
But
there might be some, you know...
Weeks for them to check it? Like, how many... That's why I'm...
They just don't want him to have it back. It's because
maybe
if any of this tied up with Sirius Black, they're just sort of like, we are not giving it back. Sorry. Like this is, we don't know what it is. It's suspicious. Yeah. It's crazy that they have more pause here, or at least McGonagall does. Actually, it's probably because it's McGonagall's decision. Throughout the series, we see Dumbledore oftentimes put Harry in risky situations and be okay with things that McGonagall would not be okay with. And so McGonagall's like, I don't think so.
No, yeah. And I think it speaks for her. That
me too.
She loves Quidditch. Nothing more.
Oh,
like
gotcha.
She
yeah. Even more so.
Nothing more actually than winning the Quidditch Cup and just
right. And she's
snatching
got her,
it right out of Snape's hand.
Right. She has a seeker with a firebolt. Like guaranteed win.
Yes.
And she's like, we're gonna take it.
No. Yeah. The safety of her students is more important. And
I love her. You know.
Props to her.
I love her.
Yeah. Minerva is awesome, and I love her backstory. Have we ever done? Yeah, I think we talked about her backstory, But it's great, That's why. That's why Shan is also great. She does
she's amazing.
Good. We just listened.
We were on her live earlier today. Yeah, she read one of her questions.
What's her favorite Hufflepuff? She said Newt's King.
Did she say that?
No, she said all Hufflepuffs are great, but she
except
said something
for
about
Justin Finch, Fletchley.
J. Finch out.
Yep, she said no.
J. Finch is out.
We should, I don't know. I like him. Anyway. All right. Well, hey, that is pretty much it. That's the chapter.
This week's chapter.
So there you go, friends.
The firebolt.
We are moving on to a new segment, though. Irma Pence's recommendations of the week.
Yes.
And I think this is fun because we kind of mentioned it earlier in the chapter discussion, but there's a book that you've been reading. So Lottie's been reading lots of different books, and she just or listens to podcasts or different motivational videos and such, and always shares little tidbits with me. We want to share some with you guys because I think these are cool, and it kind of inspired us even a little bit more to think about this podcast and how, as we said at the top of the show, we were going to create more content and do different things and just keep churning stuff out here from our cozy little cottage.
Yeah. Yeah, so this week's book that I read and that I want to recommend to you guys, it's called Steal Like an Artist, and I just noticed I didn't put the author in here. It is Austin Kleon. It's K-L-E-O-N. Steal Like an Artist. And it's basically an inspiring guide to creativity in the digital age. Steal Like an Artist presents 10 transformative principles that will help readers discover their artistic side and build a more creative life. So it's not just for someone who says, I'm an artist, that's my job, but someone, anyone who wants to be creative or who is creative. And really, that's all of us. Mm-hmm. And I want to share two key concepts this week that I think were very, I mean, I had a moment. We were at the gym, and I love listening to those inspiring books at the gym because you're already doing something that gets your
juices flowing,
your heart's pumping,
yep.
Blood gets to the brain, and you get inspired. And when he talked about having a bliss station, everyone should build a bliss station in their home or somewhere in their lives. And he says it's a certain room or even hours in the day, so it can be a certain room or time that's a place of creative incubation, and that helps you disconnect from the world to connect with yourself. So really, it doesn't even have to be a certain room. He talks about it can be, you know, sometimes people just live in smaller apartments with little kids and you have to make time for it. But even if your dinner table after dinner when the kids go to bed becomes that bliss station for you,
yeah.
And you can get out your gear and you put some candles there and you have your music on, and this is your place where you can get in the zone, yeah. And that's non-negotiable.
I probably say it wrong.
Non-negotiable. Yes.
Yes.
And we looked at each other and we were like, yes, that's exactly what we always talk about.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's hard to find the time to do your side projects, things you want to pursue, new things you want to learn. But it's so important to set aside that time, place to do that.
Yeah. I think learning, that's the other thing too, is whether you're creating something or you're learning something, there were times where I was having a blast on my master's program, and mm-hmm. I'm into education. I don't talk about it a lot, but I think I do a pretty good job in education, and I enjoy it, and I've learned a lot. And it's just always fun to try to learn new ways to teach something or to grow yourself as in your profession or in your trade or whatever it might be. So yeah, whether it's you're creating something, you're learning something, or just trying to better yourself in some way.
Yeah.
I like this. I like the idea that you need to set that up, because even if it is going to the gym.
Right.
If that's where you're going and you're fine tuning yourself, or where you're meditating or doing yoga or whatever it is, you find a place that is just fueling you and you're recharging.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. And they say that you should retreat from the world, and silence and solitude are crucial for being creative and focused deeply on your work. And I embrace that so much because I know I need and want that silence and solitude. I love going to see friends, family, and hanging out. But I know, especially with a social job like teaching is, where all day long you're communicating, you have to be an entertainer too.
Yeah, yeah.
It is, to me, it's so important that we have our fortress of solitude.
Fortress of solitude, people.
Yeah, just a place to retreat. And I thought it was really cool.
Yeah, it is good. I think it's, yeah, it, like, even if it's a quiet place. So we were talking about learning, we're talking about like bettering yourself. But yeah, like as you're saying there, a place to just be still for a moment and process.
Yes.
Love it.
And we want to build that in our, we have that
dream.
Even though we already have it, we talked about it, how on the weekend, I can feel the energy of my workplace where I can sit down and I write the summaries for a chapter. I write thoughts down. I check our YouTube. Yeah. I check our emails. And I just get into that place, even though it's not, I mean, necessarily tied to this desk, but it helps you get into that headspace immediately.
Yeah.
And there's nothing here that would distract me necessarily from it. And you said it's the same for you, and we want to keep having that place, even if we have children and moving to another place. It still will be, we always will have that bliss station.
Yeah. I think once you find it, or once you start doing it, or whatever it looks like for different people. Some people it's not in their house. Some people like it's that hour of a day where they're out for a hike, or they're out, you know, doing something for themselves. you know, and yeah, I just feel like if you have it in it, keep it, right? Whatever, because yeah. it gives you, there's so much good that comes from it. If you don't have it, or if it kind of comes and goes and you've not really been intentional about it, I'd say try to find it, try to get it and incorporate it into
your
life.
And make it your space. Yeah. Make it something you love to look at. You love to sit down there and work.
Here's a crazy, so even if it's something as small, like I used to do this, which was I would have my figures in my room, all my Star Wars figures up on a shelf when I was back at home, like as a teenager. And I had a bunch of different like books and different things that I walked in mm-hmm. and they inspired me.
Yes.
And I would just sit there, I would look at them and I would think about them and I would remember the days when I played with them. I was a little kid.
Yeah.
And then I became a teenager and I went in there and I was like, yes.
Yes.
I remember those days.
Yeah.
And the stories would come back and I just lay on my bed because I only had 20 minutes and I had to get back out to baseball practice or something. So, you know. But yeah, even little things like that just to kind of little getaways and.
I have the fondest memories of my, as a kid, I had a bunk bed, but just for myself. So there was nothing underneath really. It was just me sleeping like elevated in that bunk bed. And that bed was absolutely my, you know, place of retreat where I could just cuddle up. It's right next to the window. There's a big tree outside my window. It was just the favorite place of my childhood.
Yeah.
Because I could cuddle up in there, listen to audiobooks. I mean, I could do it all day. Listen to audiobooks and just play Pokemon.
It's awesome.
That was my favorite thing to do when I was a kid.
You played a lot of Pokemon.
I didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's cool. It's really cool.
That is, some people wouldn't say so, but thanks for saying that.
No, I really think it is cool. I think a lot of people actually, our listeners, would think it's cool.
But yeah, I think it's cool too.
I played different games, but Pokemon is cool. It's very comfy. I've now actually sort of adopted a more cozy gaming style. I still play my, you know, Destiny and Star Wars games from time to time, but I do like the cozy vibes. I like, you know, I don't know, hearing you play it or having it on in the background. It's great. So yeah, I've heard that story and I love that story of you, the visualization of you just getting away and retreating and listening to your audiobooks and gaming.
The second last thing I want to share from that book is kind of what we say a couple of times. We mention it when you want to grow, that you need to be okay with being uncomfortable. And sometimes our lives are too comfortable nowadays. And then there's nothing wrong with comfort. There's nothing wrong with a hot bath.
A hot bath?
I don't know. I was thinking about cold weather outside. And I don't know. There's nothing wrong with the
I don't want people to get the wrong idea here. We mentioned Bliss Station right into a hot bath. And people are like, hold on. Ez and Lottie, come on.
Okay, let's start over. There's nothing wrong with a warm blanket and a candle and some chocolate and a coffee, but we need balance. Like in everything in our lives needs that balance. Mm-hmm. So we need times where we are uncomfortable. We take cold showers.
Oh,
we
I do.
Fast. We go to the gym and challenge ourselves. And they talk about that our brain gets too comfortable in your everyday surroundings, so it's good to make it uncomfortable.
I want to know, are there any listeners, you know what, just send us a message at Fleur and Bill if you do one of those things. Like, what is something that you do that is a challenge, that is difficult or whatever?
We love challenges.
Because I message my buddy Lane from time to time, and I'll just, in the morning, this might be a little too personal, but yeah, pop in there, get a cold shower, and I literally send him a message. I'm just like, cold shower, done, check. And then he'll write me back and he'll be like, either he did it or he didn't do it, or he'll let me know. And we just kind of challenge each other back and forth just to, you know, like work
each other
out,
accountable,
done, right?
Yeah.
You know, hit your eating window, fasting window, whatever it is, done. And it's just fun.
It is. So, and you can be proud of yourself once you hit that streak of a week or 2 weeks.
Some people, it's like, read that book this week, done. And I'm like, whoa. You know what I mean? Like some of the things that we talk about sometimes that we think are cool and awesome, there's so many other things that people do that are challenging that are like amazing. Like you don't even notice. You just drink water all day long. And I'm sitting over here going like, whoa, I need to drink some more water. Hydro Girl is always on me about my water intake, and I need more of it. By the way, I just learned today, you should get a little salt in your lemon water in the morning.
Pink
and that just sort of...
Pink salt.
Yeah. Are you,
it's a TikTok wisdom, so we don't know if that's actually true.
Yeah.
But yeah.
No, I think
I've heard that before, though. Yeah, it's supposed to hydrate you better.
Yeah, it's good for you. So anyways...
Anyway,
okay. I think that's it. I think we're running up on 2 hours here.
Yeah.
So, it's just a long episode.
More time people can spend with us.
Right? Yeah.
Because it was so awesome.
Because it takes awesome to know awesome. That's what. Anyway, all right. Well, that's it, friends. That's all. You got anything else?
I'm just asking. Anything?
No.
Okay, good. I'm just checking. So thank you for tuning in to Shell Cottage Radio, 94.7 COZY. We do hope that you'll join us in the future and look forward to that new format. And again, if it is a big adjustment for, you know, again, I don't want folks to think that we're not going to be doing the reread or whatever.
Absolutely not.
We're continuing.
Yeah, we're continuing.
I just think it's not really just more. We're just kind of like taking the knob there.
More.
And just turning it up.
More.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Again, the visual needs to come back because if you can see, that was definitely a spaz out over there. It was great. Okay, we do thoroughly enjoy meeting new positive Potter people. It'll be like babbling bands and
baboons.
If you don't want to miss our next episode, then be sure to subscribe. Actually, subscribing, as I've said in the past, it does support the podcast. So if you click the subscribe button, it's a big deal. Send signals to some algorithm thing, and it does help us, right? Also, yes. Leaving reviews do as well. We have seen those most recent reviews, and I believe next episode we're going to give you guys a shout-out on those. Thank you for doing that, and follow us over on social media at Fleur and Bill.
If you truly enjoy our content, then also consider supporting our growing wizarding family on Patreon or Apple Premium. You'll find all the links down below. Thank you so much to all our current patrons. We appreciate you, to Luna and back. On our next reread episode, we will continue our journey through Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban with Chapter 12, The Patronus. So make sure you tune back in next time, and until then, have a great rest of your week. Thanks for joining us in our shell cottage today. We know it's not much, but it's home.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.